From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Last month, the Kaiser Family Foundation polled Americans on whether the Affordable Care Act is still law. That's the changes in health insurance, commonly known as Obamacare. Well, 12% of Americans, that's about 1 in 8, said Congress had repealed the Affordable Care Act. Congress has not, although Republicans in the House have tried 37 times to do so. It also found that 42% of Americans are unaware of what's happening with these sweeping health care reform changes. Maybe you are one. Today, State Insurance Commissioner Mike Kreidler joins us to answer your questions about health insurance reform. Mike Kreidler is serving his fourth term as insurance commissioner, first elected in 2000 and reelected to his fourth term in 2012. He's previously served in the state legislature and the U.S. Congress. Mike Kreidler is a doctor of optometry. So thanks so much for coming back to answer our questions. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Ross.
We're at 206-543-5869, 206-543-KUOW. I already answered a couple of questions about the Affordable Care Act. It has not been repealed. It is definitely rolling in, and maybe you've got some further questions about how it will affect you. It's 800-289-5869. Write to us, conversation at KUOW.org. Mike, you just had quadruple bypass surgery. How you feeling?
I'm feeling very well. Thank you, Ross. And looking forward to getting back so I can start to do some running again.
Running? You're going to go, how long does that take to get back to running after a quadruple bypass?
Well, they're going to give me, they're forcing me to take my time doing it. But I'm hoping that by a year from now, I'll be back in the saddle, so to speak, and maybe doing some 5Ks.
Yeah. And I'm told there's a big energy burst after a bypass surgery. Are you experiencing that upside of it yet?
No, I haven't yet. No.
Okay. That's coming. That'll be coming on down the line. Were you surprised by this Kaiser study that showed Americans are really in the dark about health reform?
You know, probably not. I mean, some of us are so deeply intertwined with it because of being the insurance commissioner, and we're looking at all of the policy changes that have to be made and the rates that are going to have to be commensurate with them, and then how they fit in with the various metal tiers, as they're referred to, as to how much you're going to have to spend out of pocket if you buy a particular insurance type policy. And I think to the average person, they don't see that. Now, I'm really into it. I'm on the Health Insurance Exchange Board as an ex officio member, so I'm kind of living and breathing it every single day. But for the average person out there, they don't feel it. And in fact, I mean, I'm at my grandchildren's soccer games and things like this and talking to people, and we'll ask them, you know, what about health care reform? And they'll say,
huh?
Oh, yeah, what's going on? You know, there's really, it just kind of goes really past them. They're aware of it being out there, but they really don't understand how it's going to impact them. And I think part of the reason for that would be it's something like 78% of the people are not going to be impacted by health care reform. A huge percentage of the overall population is not going to be impacted because they already have it, either through Medicare or they have employment-based health insurance coverage that they like, and they're already covered that way. For the vast majority of people, it's going to have a little impact.
So that's a really important point. If you're thinking about it, you don't have to think about it. If you're covered in the ways that you just said, if you're covered by Medicare, if you're already covered by a plan, it's folks who aren't covered or need to maybe get some more coverage that need to pay attention to this. Now, this has been rolling out for the past couple of years, and 2014 is the date when it's supposed to be finalized. In fact, people are going to have health insurance by the first of next year, or they could face a penalty of $95 or 1% of their income, which whichever is greater. How many people in Washington State are going to need to get onto an insurance plan? How many people are in that category right now who aren't yet insured?
Well, the principal focus is going to be on people who buy their own health insurance, that pay for it themselves, either for themselves or for their families. And we're talking about 300,000 people in the state of Washington who buy their own health insurance today. But we've got over 1 million people without health insurance coverage in the state of Washington. They are going to be the principal beneficiaries of the health care reform that goes into effect. All the rest of us benefit, but not nearly to the same degree of somebody who doesn't have health insurance coverage today or buys it themselves and has huge out-of-pocket expenses that are part of their health insurance, meaning it doesn't cover a whole lot, charges them a great deal of money, and that's going to change for them. They're going to have meaningful coverage, limitations on out-of-pocket expenses.
And people are kind of wondering what that's going to mean for money. I went to your website at the insurance commissioner's office, and there's actually a handy-dandy little calculator. You can go in and put in your age, other dependents that you have in your household's age. It'll give you kind of a ballpark estimate of what you might be paying every month for your insurance costs. And you're also – you've been really busy for the last months setting up what's called a health care exchange. It's supposed to be in place by October 1st. And as I understand it, it's kind of like a department store for health insurance plans. So you can check out a number of different kinds of plans at this when it's set up.
Exactly. So when you go there, you're going to have four different levels. Actually, there are going to be three different levels that you're going to be able to go in and make a selection as to how much do I want to pay per month in my health insurance premiums. You pay more, you have less than that you would have to pay in copays and deductibles. If you wind up wanting to pay less, then you're going to have to...
higher deductible.
Exactly. So it'll be your choice, but you'll be able to compare at a particular level multiple plans and say, this is the plan that covers my doctor or my hospital. This matters to me to make sure that I keep my same doctor. They accept this plan. They're a member of this plan. Therefore, I'll want to stay with them. Then you just decide how much you want to spend per month.
Got a question for Mike Kreidler? 206-543-5869, 800-289-5869. You can write conversation at kuow.org. We've got Sven on the line. He's calling us today from Mason Lake. And Sven's got a question for the insurance commissioner today. What is it, Sven?
Yes. My question is if the premiums become tax deductible under health care reform.
For individuals, there's going to be that sign up for health insurance. So when they go in and take a look at the calculator, it's going to make a determination as to what your family income is, how much of financial assistance you're going to get if you're eligible for it, and that means people up to something like $45,000 for an individual, and up to $92,000 for a family of four are going to be eligible on a declining basis, depending on how close they are to the top portion there. But they're going to be able to get financial assistance, and that financial assistance can either be that you wind up having your rates reduced by the amount of financial assistance that you get and when you pay your premium to your health insurer, or you can wait and say, I'll pay the full premium, but when I get to the end of the year, when I pay my taxes, I'll be able to get it back as a tax credit.
So it sounds, Sven, like you can get a reduction a couple of ways. One is that tax deduction at the end of the year, or you might be able to qualify for a lower rate. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for your call. 206-543-5869. Chris is with us today. He's on Bainbridge Island. Chris, what's your question for Insurance Commissioner Mike Kreidler?
I'm curious as to whether this will actually lower overall costs really for everybody. My family, we buy our own insurance, but it always goes up every year, the premiums. And I'm just wondering, is there any possibility that this will significantly reduce our premiums?
You know, that's going to be the second leg that has to be done. The first one is you got to get everybody covered because there's so much uncompensated care, meaning people who can't pay their hospital bills or medical bills, that winds up being cost shifted to the rest of us who do have insurance and makes our premiums higher. That's kind of the first leg, and that doesn't do a lot for what we refer to as medical trend. What is really driving the cost? Medical technology, pharmaceuticals, all of that adds to the cost of health care. Great improvements, but it costs more. We've got to do a better job of becoming hugely more efficient in our health system in order to bring those costs down. And there are some mechanisms out there that are helping to drive that, making sure that people are tracked more by their family practice doctor as opposed to going to specialty care. And not that there's going to be any restraint on that, but let's make sure the person who knows you the best is the person who's tracking you. Frequently, it winds up that you can get more effective care, better care at a lower price if you have that kind of tracking. But there's a number of pilot programs that are a part of healthcare reform. Over the next few years, we're going to see those taking hold and becoming part of the system, and they're going to help to bend that cost curve down. But you're absolutely right. The medical trend is the big bugaboo right now. We've got to be able to bend that cost curve down. We're spending at like 17% of the gross domestic product, twice as much as our economic competitors in the world, and we're getting lousy results from it.
But I'm wondering this. Chris just wants to know if he's going to be able to pay less for health care maybe after 2014. Could it be that he would qualify for some of the programs we just talked about that would allow him to get a discount on his health care if he's in the health care exchange, or perhaps a tax deduction for what he's already paying.
Very much so. And the group that's by far the most uninsured are younger adults that are the people are most likely to not have health insurance coverage. They're also the ones that are most likely to be eligible for financial assistance to help hold down the cost of their health insurance premiums. So there's that direct beneficiary, but the system needs to make improvements from the standpoint of efficiency. But there's also the direct impact. Can I afford the health insurance premium that I'm being charged or will be charged under health care reform? And there is help on the way from the standpoint of financial assistance. And for other people, it's going to mean that you're going to have much more meaningful coverage than you've had in the past and limitations of out-of-pocket expenses, which is a big benefit over the current system.
Hey, Chris, did you have a follow-up question?
No, that's great. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks very much for your phone call. 206-543-5869. Jeff is with us. He's calling today from Bellingham. Jeff, good afternoon. You're on the air with Insurance Commissioner Mike Kreidler.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, guys. My question is, my family is currently on the Community Health Plan of Washington through the Healthcare Authority, and I'm wondering if the new exchange insurance will take the place of all of those programs and going forward.
Community Health Plans of Washington is one of the some nine plans that have filed right now with our office, and it's possible that they might be one of the first that actually succeeds in going through the entire process, because we have to review the policy they have to make sure that they have the 10 essential health benefits that are required as a part of health care reform. In addition to that, that their pricing is fair and reasonable to those benefits that they have in their plan. And Community Health Plan of Washington is one of those that has filed with our office and are making good progress currently.
They're part of the state, though, and you're the state insurance commissioner. Don't you already kind of know whether they match up to those goals and requirements?
You know, we would normally, but, you know, the changes are so dramatic right now. You know, you have the 10 essential health benefits, which was never a standard previously. Now you're going to have a strict standard. If they want to be in the market, either inside the exchange or on the outside, which there'll be a very active market outside of the health insurance exchange, too, they still have to meet in the individual and small group market, meet these same essential health benefits. So we have to review all those plans, and as they come in, there are always different ways in how they're presenting them to us. We have to make sure that they are consistent with the state and federal law. In addition to that, we have to make sure that the rates match up. So it's a huge task to my office right now that is totally outside of the view of the public, but it is actually a bit overwhelming.
Jeff, did you get your question answered?
I did. I think he answered it pretty well, that going forward they just have to evaluate everything and go on.
Hey, thanks for your call, Jeff. We talked a little bit about subsidies and tax deductions. Give us a ballpark idea of who might qualify for subsidies or tax deductions under this when it's fully implemented.
Well, it'll be the individuals that buy their own health insurance. And my own daughter and her family are in that same category. They buy it for their family. And my daughter keeps complaining about the health insurance coverage she has right now and the limitations that they have. You're going to now have those 10 essential health benefits, and they'll be eligible for financial assistance, or even if they don't, they're going to at least make sure that they have meaningful coverage from the standpoint of the 10 essential health benefits. But it also has the net effect of by virtue of having a requirement that everybody have health insurance, that you help bring down uncompensated care, which helps everybody.
So people don't go to the emergency room and use very high-cost care where they could be getting lower-cost care. People are maybe getting checked out for preventative care, which I understand is part of this too. So the problem is solved maybe before it gets to be too aggravated.
Exactly. I mean, emergency room care is one of the 10 essential health benefits, but the incentive has to be, as a part of the system, is try to minimize the usage, except in the case of true emergencies, for emergency room care. Make sure that you go see your family practice doctor, that there be extended hours, that there's some kind of a rotation basis to take calls on weekends and evenings so that they wind up not having to go in for emergency care, or have a better understanding of why they need to go into emergency care and why they should not.
You know, you've mentioned these 10 essential things that these plans will have to have. And what do you think is the one that people are least likely to have now? What is the new benefit that will be required under your office of these 10 that most people will benefit from?
The people, again, we're looking at people who buy their own health insurance policies themselves. Two areas I'd look at. One is maternity. So if you have a child, you're going to be able to have that covered. Many of those policies out there right now do not cover maternity. The second, for a much broader number of people, your prescription drugs. And that is going to be now required to be covered, and it has to be a meaningful benefit.
Will that include Plan B, the so-called morning after pill? Will that be covered by this?
It will be. Whether it's one that has to be paid for separately or not, whether it's part of the essential health benefits right now, that's from the standpoint of a carrier being obligated to provide it right now. That's part of the debate that we're going through right now. Right now, we're operating for the next 2 years under state requirements, and that is something that is a state requirement. So it would be for the next 2 years, but after that, we may go to a federal standard, which is why it's an issue before the legislature.
Right. It is still alive in the legislature here in the special session. This is a measure that would ensure that you would be able to get abortion services paid for under health insurance reform. It's been a big debate in Olympia. Is still in play?
It is still in play, and I'm a strong supporter of the Reproductive Parity Act. It's probably going to have some tough sledding now that we're into special session, and there's some real questions as to whether we need to actually pass it this year or next year in order to be ready for 2 years out, starting in 2016.
Tanya's on the line, and she's calling us today from Bothell. Tanya, good afternoon. What's your question for Insurance Commissioner Mike Kreidler?
Hi. Yeah. Thank you. I have a question about pre-existing conditions. I don't know if he's addressed that yet.
Not yet.
I have a job that's a good job. I have good insurance coverage through Premera. I'm thinking about being self-employed at some point in the next year or two, but I'm, you know, hesitant to change and be self-insured if there's a pre-existing condition issue.
You know, you really speaks to, you know, one of the real problems we have in our society, which is called job lock because of health insurance, because there aren't currently real opportunities for individuals to go out and get realistic, affordable, quality health insurance available to them, paying for it themselves. And a big stumbling block are pre-existing conditions. Under the health care reform, an insurer cannot take into account your pre-existing condition. You will be able to buy health insurance without that being a consideration, and you're going to have a reasonable period, a couple months or if not immediately, where you're going to be available, have access to that health insurance once you've signed up for it. So there's huge advantages from the standpoint of somebody who is in that job thinking about maybe going out and getting starting their own business, but fearful of what happens to them if they don't have health insurance. Big changes, all positive.
Now, is that coming in the future, or can you get insurance now even if you have a pre-existing condition like Tanya has? Is that going to be?
It's a problem today until January 1st, 2014.
Okay, so Tanya, it sounds like by that time this will change for you. Thanks very much for your phone call. Thanks for all of your phone calls, and there's a lot of information at your website. How can people find out more about this, get the answers to questions that we have not gotten to yet today, Mike?
Well, they can ask me a question directly by going to askmike@oic.wa.gov, or they can go to our website that you're referencing here, Ross, and that's in insurance.wa.gov.
Insurance.wa.gov. Mike Kreidler is Washington's insurance commissioner. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Russ.
It's KUOW, Seattle.